what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over. Sing that chorus one more time. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Sister Trudy.
It's already done. It's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. I'm already family is sealed. Oh, the battle is over. The victory is won. My family is sealed.
Sing it with us, saints.
Oh, it's already already done.
Oh, praise His name.
The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done.
One more time, sing it for Him, Lord.
Oh, it's already done.
Hallelujah.
It's already done.
Praise His name.
is over. The victory is won. It's already done.
The battle is over. Amen.
The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done.
Thank you, Nyla. Thank you, Trudy. Amen. That was a blessing. Praise God. It's already done. Claim it as it's done. Amen. Amen. I always say, you know, problems have a beginning and they have an end. They're not eternal. They don't have eternal life. They have an end. Amen. Praise God. Lord John, could you come and help us take up our offering? Praise God.
All right, Lord, just bless these tithes and offering as they come into you, Lord. Just bless the service and continue to help our hearts to understand. All right, God, thank you for this day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Sister Esther, look, can we sing Take Up Your Cross, key of F? Key of F. Let's just sing that before Brother Dale comes out.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him.
Let's stand to our feet now.
Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him.
One more time, sing it up to Him now.
Oh, take up your cross, it's worth it. Take up that cross and follow Jesus. Just take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him.
Just count the cost.
Oh, just count the cost and take up your cross and follow Him.
Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank God for the opportunity He gives us to serve Him. Amen.
Amen.
Even in the hour that we're living in. It's a late hour, saints, but it's still worthy. It's still worth it to serve Him. Amen. Let's sing up. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Dale comes. Man, you're ready for the word?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Jesus, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted. Shining in the light of Your glory. Your power.
always say, just turn around and look. You might find him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Just remember that Wade and June will be on their way back from Kentucky. Pray that the Lord will give them a safe journey. Brother Aaron will be ministering, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. Now there's a brother, Trevor Edmonds, I guess. I got the name from Wade, but he'll be with us on the 21st, which is next Sunday. He will be ministering both services on the Sunday, next Sunday, all right, 21st. All right, so remember all of these. Any other announcements? Do we have any? Okay. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. We thank you that you've given us an opportunity to just take a little bit of time, Lord, and just sit down and think about you. As we always pray with the musicians, Lord, let them set the stage with their singing of the songs of Zion, and then let your word come forth in praise and honor, Lord. So we just ask you to fulfill your promises to us. You said you'd be there, so we believe you. Just bless and guide. Be waiting him traveling back, and just give a safe journey. Let everything be for you, and Lord. We love you, and we thank you. Bless all the sick among us. We know that there's many, many that are sick. And Lord, we pray that you'd reach down and touch each one. The old age is getting on to a lot of us, Lord, and taking us down, but we know who's the one who'll take us up. So we depend upon you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. In other words, blessed be the God, even Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now remember, I made the statement this morning that we were using Abraham. We'll still refer back, but we're using Abraham, the Old Testament people. Now we're coming into the New Testament form. So this is speaking to me and you now. This is bringing it into the bride of Christ. Because watch the scripture. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now watch. Certain position, certain spot for this last days. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded, in other words, heaped it up, piled it on us, toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, in Romans, Colossians, and Timothy, you find a mystery there of the engrafting of the Gentiles. Okay, but this is not that mystery part. This is a great mystery, and the prophet says in the adoption series, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, he said, to adopt us. All right, now that's the mystery of his will, so now we're going into that, see. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, in other words, somewhere a dispensation, somewhere a predestinated plan, somewhere a destiny is set, in the fullness of time, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So now, do you understand what we're doing? Because there is a difference between the Old Testament salvation and the New Testament. The Old Testament salvation was speaking of a time to come, sure, that it would be Jesus Christ would come on the scene. But as far as the time, it could only be made manifest because, as we've said this morning, see, that Jesus Christ had not come and died. All right. Until he died, you didn't have redemption. You had only the blood of bulls and goats speaking of that redemption to come. You didn't have the new birth in the Old Testament. They had a promise, you know, of a coming Messiah. They had a promise that they could go to the regions of the blessed and wait until it would come time for them to come forth, you know, and some did in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And just remember what I'm getting at. We're coming up now to where we are. As I said, I just brought that to you where you'd remember it. See, some people would say, well, the mystery. We know the mystery. The mystery didn't graft into the Gentile. Okay, that's right. But now that's not this scripture. This scripture is not applying to the ingrafting of the Gentiles. All right? Now listen to what I'm saying, because that's Romans, Colossians, and 1 Timothy, that you have a mystery of the ingrafting of the Gentiles. See, because there was no promise back there. There was nothing in the Old Testament about us. We just had little spots like Rahab the harlot would speak of it. This would speak of it. You could just speak of the coming in of the Gentiles because we had no connection. We were not heirs. We were not heirs. We had to be brought into a position to an inheritance or brought into heirs of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. All right? So then that's where that we're doing, but that's just laying that down where you won't get the thought in your mind. It's a mystery. Well, that's the engrafting. There is a mystery of the engrafting of the Gentiles. Okay? But that's not this scripture. This is a scripture of a predestinated, predetermined position that someone must reach. Now, I'm putting this out before I start the message part, and it may take a couple of messages to get through the adoption, but that's all right. But I'm just making the point to you to where that you'll think about it, that this is the adopting into the family. See? And Brother Brown said that's where the Pentecostals even made their mistake. He said they come up to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. And he said they received the new birth. But said, then they stopped. Well, see, then that's why that a prophet had to come. A predestinated seed was laying in the word, as I was saying this morning, a destiny for somebody to reach. And it was reached by a prophet in the last days to bring the Gentile dispensation to a close. All right? So now get the difference between the two so that way you won't. I do that because maybe some of you may call it, well, that confuses me. Well, to others it's not confusing because they have in their mind their thoughts, well, that's the Gentiles being engrafted in. No, I give you the scriptures. This is where they are. Here's where we are. This is not the engrafting of the Gentiles. See, watch what I'm saying. This is to where, let's read it. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated, set a destiny. A destiny is set for someone. All right. Having predestinated us unto, the prophet said, unto, he said, now like I go unto the water fountain. I go unto the door. I go, it's something that is a travel. A motion has been taking place and travel, and it's going to a place. But it's going to a position that is destinated for this last days. We have a predestinated destiny. All right? Now, I want you to take that and just keep it in your mind because we'll keep probably referring back to it in the next message or two to where we can follow it, that we're not just haphazardly. See? In other words, if it had stopped and the prophet had not been sent, we would have been to the new birth. Sure? We would have went to glory by passing on, but everyone went by the grave.
Right.
If you understand what I'm getting at, this is a predestinated destiny that someone must come to the adoption. In coming to the adoption, we come to the position of a body change. Because redemption covers the body as well as the soul. So then we're predestinated, see, unto adoption by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay? What for now? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. See, we're the only people that knows this mystery. You follow me, even the Pentecostals that come up in line and were lined up and going good and all, but still they never reached that.
Right.
Now you understand why the prophet would have to preach over and over the grain of wheat, corn of wheat, the things of coming in, the promises there, and all of those messages would be the Christ, the mystery of God revealed. See? Which is more than just the ingrafting of the Gentiles. That was taking place back there at Calvary, because when Jesus Christ was crucified, see, then the message was taken out. Peter went to the Gentiles.
Right.
All right, that fulfills those scriptures.
Right.
But it didn't fulfill this scripture. This scripture comes forth as a predestinated position, a destiny for somebody to reach. We're in that day and time to where that can be reached. Because see, it's got to be. Who else is going to do it? What are we going to do? We're going to sit around here and wait another 20 years? Most of us ain't going to be here. You know, and what are is going to be in nursing homes. So it may not be a joke that I've always made it about it in the ministers' meeting, or fellowship meetings. You know, I always tell them, say, Lord, don't hurry up and get back. We're going to start having fellowship meetings in a nursing home. Well, you know, that's pretty close. All right. But see, somebody has got to step forth and move into it and know. Now listen, Brother Branham, in referring to gifts and callings, it's in my mind, I thought, in the gifts and callings, he brings out Moses. And he said, see there, Moses knew the word. And I thought, oh, yeah. Hey, that's something. He said, Moses knew the word. See, in other words, he knew the word for his day because he was living the word. He was walking in the word for his day. And he knew where he was at. He knew where his calling was. All he had to depend on the fact of that burning bush to be God. You know, God in the bush. That's all he had to depend on because that would take care of it. Because the one in the bush said, throw down your stick. And he throw down his stick, it become a snake. He said, take it back up. He said, with this, you're going to take over Egypt. All right? Well, are you following me now so that we can get a point and then we'll back out of it and move back into understanding? Because, see, if Moses knew the plan, all right, then he was the man with the word. Okay. Now think about that. And think about that to be coming down here to where that the prophet was sent. A predestinated gift. I'll cover those in the gifts where Brother Brown says they're predestinated. And he says it's predestinated eternally. Now it's not the person. Come on, I don't mind quoting the rest of the word because like I was saying about choosing and you choosing, then I don't mind telling you the rest of the word. All right? Because there has to be a people to make manifest the message that the prophet has brought.
Right.
To this being the prophet coming, a predestination. That's wonderful. God would send us a prophet. But there's got to be a people. Now take that because that's where we stand in the last days.
Right.
Not waiting on God to do anything. I'm not waiting on him to do it. He's doing it.
Right.
I'm not preaching. I've been preaching this message now for 50 years, and I've never preached a past tense message. I've never preached something of the past. You have to tell about the past. But I've always preached a future tense or a present tense, the way I like it, because there at the burning bush, when he said, I am that I am, that means ever present for eternity.
Right.
In other words, why would Moses try to even think about being afraid when he had the I am with him?
Right.
He said, Moses, go down there. I'm going with you.
Yep.
I'm going to take care of it.
Right.
I'm going with you. See, the day that we're living, the time, is valuable to us. Don't worry about these things. Don't worry about your plagues and your viruses and your things like that. Sure, we're human beings. Hey, come on. But we're not to just stay that I've had the virus and I just don't feel too good. Well, start confessing the truth about it, that you are healed. That'll bring you to a position to move out of that situation.
Amen.
You keep talking about how bad it is, you just stay there.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to get you to see. Somebody's going to reach a position in this day that is predestinated or was predestinated before the world ever begun for a group of people to walk in the last day word, the present tense message,
yes,
and say, I am that I am. He made me.
That's right.
If not, what are we doing here? I mean, come on, us. Like I said, I've been here 50 years doing this. I've never been down on the basis of wondering what's going on. I've always been positive of trying to preach what's going on. That's why we never got caught with all of these doctrines and ideas and things. Because with the same thing of them coming, a warning came to us to say, no, that's not it.
Right.
Here's the word.
Amen.
If Moses could have the word, why can't you and me have the word after it's been delivered unto us by the prophet?
Right.
We don't have to worry about it. It's been delivered unto us.
Right.
Step out and take your position.
Amen.
And say, this is what he's done. And to think about that he has come in the last days himself, not the prophet, not the man. He came himself in the last days in the person of Jesus Christ to walk on this earth. I believe that. A prophet is God's mouthpiece. He is instead of God for me and you. He's not in God's stead to take over and do something. But he's there to direct us. What else would we want? Why would we be concerned? I mean, what's the point? And like I said, though, you keep everything lined up. And then you don't have, well, we're just mystery. He's talking about a mystery. Well, we know that in the Baptist. Well, sure did. I did. I know it in the Baptist that the Gentile dispensation had come forth, and it was the Gentile dispensation from the day of Pentecost up, because that the Gentiles would be coming in, and that there was no part back in the Old Testament about the Gentiles to tell you anything about it other than little spots here and yonder of something happening. A Rahab the harlot or something like that. Why can't we just, well, all right, to make sure we follow and understand, how does God choose? And that's why we preached that message this morning, titled it, which is the predestination made plain, number 3, but really the title of the message was Election and Calling. Make sure your calling and election is sure. Make sure you're in the Word. Don't get caught playing around. Let's see, what is the Word the prophet said? Being in the wrong ranks at the rapture would be no excuse. Now you answer that one. He said being in the wrong ranks at the rapture would be no excuse. Now, the only way I can do it is just read that and just understand what it said. If I'm not ready, then there ain't going to be no change of this body for me. They may be for you, but it ain't going to be for me if I'm not ready. So then it's my responsibility to make myself available to that. And that's making yourself available to the Word. That's why I spend so much time in trying to bring you to the Word and getting you to see things. It's like saying about, well, this is not to bring in the Gentile. See, people's mind gets locked in on those things, and it just cuts off. But see, that's not what it is. It's the mystery to of His will, which His will is His Word, and His Word is the end time adoption. Right? To adopt His people. To become His children is one thing, but to adopt it. Yeah. All right. Now, what was it? What did we find then? Why did God choose the way He has without it being a respecter of person? How does He do it? All right. Now, He did choose. But remember, as we studied on the point that many are chosen, many are called, but few are chosen. All right. So we got to find ourselves in the Word, and finding ourselves in the Word, we wind up talking about then present tense gospel, not something of the past, not something of the future, but what is taking place right now. The only way you'll ever have any faith in the Word of God is to have something present tense. Right? Well, all right, why don't we believe it that way? Now listen, what was it about? Talking about Abraham. What was it about Abraham? What was it about Mary that we were talking about this morning that made her to be chosen when the world was full of virgins? The world was full of young girls capable of fitting into the category of Mary. But why did He come to Mary? Because He knew by His foreknowledge what she was going to do, right? He knew when He contacted her that by His foreknowledge what she was going to do and say. Now, you agree? Now, that's holding it all to predestination by foreknowledge. He knew what she would do. He knew what Abraham would do. And He knew that Abraham would teach his children, the prophet said. That's a great thing to me. He had confidence in Abraham. He turned around. He had so much confidence in Moses. He said, Moses, go down there. He said, and don't worry about it. He said, just take that stick and mind me of what I tell you to do. When I tell you to throw the stick down, you just throw the stick down. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to do this or that or the other. You ain't got to show great signs and wonders and power. I'll take care of it. And He took over a whole nation. Because listen, I said, Mary, when she said that, she said, be it unto me according to your word. Right. You realize that's what God wanted somebody to say? Right. You realize? Now, come on, listen. Oh, you just preach philosophies. Well, what are you going to preach it with? How many young virgins do you think God maybe have dealt with in that day? No. He predestinated. Okay, now you're getting back to where I'm at, so come on. He knew before the world ever begun. He had already seen it. He knew it would take place. He knew what would happen with Mary and what she would do. And when she said, be it unto me according to thy word, that settled within her heart. And Brother Brown said it gave her two wounds. Virgin. Two wounds. One was her mind. Now, how would you do it when you turn around and like Mary was, go home and have to tell Joseph? Which it meant death if he turned her down. That's why it was an old man. See, why it was a married man. Come on. I'm just giving you natural stories of what it is. That was the reason it turned out to be that. He had to find some man that would accept that. Not just Mary. He had to find a man that would accept her. And it had to be a married man. Because a young man just wouldn't go along with it. Sorry to talk like that, and God knows my heart of what I'm trying to say. But you see, he had to accept her. Sure, he had a dream, all right? But he had to believe the dream. What if the devil gave him a dream the next night? He had to come to a place to believe that that was God talking to him, right? That was the case. That was the scenario, the story, whatever you want to call it. Was for him also to believe it. Now you can see what I was talking about this morning. God choosing, that's right. He chose you. But you must accept what he chose. You must accept him in salvation. He's not going to make you take it. All right. What were we talking about? What have we been talking about in Abraham? Abraham, according to three scriptures, Romans 4:3 says, for what saith the scripture, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's Romans 4:3. Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. James 3:23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Wouldn't that be something? To be able to think that you're the, you could say, I've got this wonderful friend I'd like to introduce you to. Who is he? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my wonderful friend. Abraham believed God. In other words, plain language, get it straight. He believed God was talking to him. Right? When that one appeared to him, he believed that one, and it's not necessarily there in the first part, which is Genesis 12, when he appeared to Abraham. It doesn't talk about him appearing physically. Maybe he did. I don't know. I ain't going to argue with you about it because ain't no need of it. I'm just going to say it. It doesn't say that God come down in the evening and walked around with him. No, that's two or three chapters later that he contacts God. God contacts Abraham and just keeps time after time coming until he finally appears to him in a human form. Do you understand? Abraham believed God. And it was counted. Or reckoned. Or imputed. That he was a man of God. That he could believe him. Yeah. And being imputed unto him, he could wind up being the friend of God. What a wonderful position that you could spend months preaching on that very thing. But get what I'm talking about now. Why was it that Abraham was accepted? It's because that he believed God. You say, well, I believe the Lord. Well, you know what now? Here's where maybe it's going to come down into us real hard. See, we prove what we believe.
Right?
We prove whether we believe or not. Now you tell me, I believe this message, but yet you do like the people of this message are doing and acting and things and saying Brother Branham was wrong here and wrong here and this, that, and the other. And then you tell me they believe God. I'm going to tell you you're a liar. I'm going to tell you you don't believe it. And God knows whether we believe him or not, right? Are you pulling anything over on him to be able to say, Lord, I believe you now, Lord. You know me now, Lord. You know I believed you. Yeah. But think about it. God came to Abraham's believing. All right? That's the point I've made for three services. Coming in four now. That Abraham done something that got God's attention. And what was it? He believed God. Not just believing in a God. Not just accepting that there is a God. That's not salvation. Salvation is not because you're doing it. Salvation is when you believe it to the point that the person of Jesus Christ comes and lives in you. In the new birth. Then you can say you believe him. See, no wonder faith is the substance of things hoped for. Because that's what Abraham had for his day. And it's like, who was it the other night was bringing it out? The word, Brother Luis, I guess. Somebody was. Where the word faith is only two times in the Old Testament. 200 something in the New. Because it's not an Old Testament word. The best you can do with the Old Testament wording would come out to be faith in God. It is not a New Testament, it's not used there as it is in the New Testament that turned out to be the faith of God. Abraham had faith in God. It didn't give him a new birth. Never gave him eternal life. But it was a human man. That's what I'm wanting you to see. That's what I've always tried to preach about Abraham. That he was a man. But yet he was a man that God come in contact with. And God used him and typed with him and showed this and that and the other and bring it all the way through. Until he was called a friend of God. David, it says he was a man after God's own heart. You say, look how bad David was. But yet look how wonderful he was as far as God was looking at. God could tell him to go do something, he'd do it. He just directed him to do it, he'd go do it. It didn't make no difference. Sure, he was a rascal, everything in the book. But he believed God. He said, that giant, that little wimp, and y'all afraid of him? And I tackled a bear. I tackled a lion. And said, you mean to tell me that you're afraid of that? He said, whatever it was that took care of me in them situations will take care of me now. Get out of the way. Don't give me none of your armor. Don't give me none of your goodies. Don't give me none of your gifts, none of your doings, none of all the things you could come up with. Just let me go myself. And he took care of it. He went up there and told that giant, he said, today I'll cut your head off. Probably had a little small knife. You know, maybe he had a little small knife. Where did he get the sword to cut off the giant's head? From the giant. All he had to do was get him on the ground. And he run and took his sword from him. And, ooh, that was easy to do. Probably hard to pick up. But once he dropped it, off went ahead. See, he wasn't afraid. Hmm? You know, I believe sometimes that a lot of people just get just enough salvation to get to where they're maybe a little bit and stop being afraid, just a little bit. But they're still afraid. Afraid of these viruses and things. I've tried my best to tell you. I told you to start with when it started. This is not the tribulation. This is pre-tribulation. Tribulation is the wrath of God. It is not just a small thing. I was talking with Brother Ernie Villanueva last night, or yesterday, and he said they was not able to go to church up there. They were kind of like the way we done. It said they had the speaker, the song leader, and they could have the like track people to keep up, you know, stuff like that, what you would call it. He said that's all they can go to church. So you know what they're doing? They're driving over into the United States because they bought that camp thing and, you know, they own some kind of a big camp area. They're going to church there. Well, that's a good smart thing to do. You know. But I mean, it's like he was saying. He said, Sam, it's here. It's done. Yeah. They can do anything they want to. They can go down there at the border right now and tell them they can't cross that and go over there. If you go over there, you're going to stay over there for 14 days or something. That's going to be done. But are we afraid of that? We're not foolish. I never have believed that I was too foolish, maybe a little stupid, but not too foolish. Because I've always thought and believed in God that could take care of us. Okay. So what happened? God found him a man that would believe him. But you know what? God had it over on Abraham. You know why? Because God had already seen Abraham. Right? God had already seen Abraham accept what he was doing and do the thing. So he's just waiting on the man. That's all he's doing with me and you.
That's right. Amen.
He's just waiting on us to step up.
Right.
See? The bride has got to realize who she is.
Right.
And that's what the prophet said. He said, when she does that, she will be an invincible army.
Right.
When she believes who she is. Right. Satan will be powerless. The prophet said before us. Yeah, but I just don't believe that. Well, see, that's what... Don't worry about it. You're not going to be one of the chosen to stay here. Now, I'm saying this the way I want it. You're not going to be them that are last of the last. We're going to go by the grave if we don't have enough faith to be able to stand on the Word of God and believe who we are and what we're doing. We're going by the grave. You think I have any trouble saying what I taught you 40 or something years ago? That I believe God showed me then that the biggest portion of the people of this message, born again believers, I had no references and the reference was not to the basis of them not being. The reference was of the people of the message would have to go by the grave because they cannot stand on the faith. Well, I don't like you talking like that because you're talking about my wife, husband, kids, this, that, or other that die. I'm not talking about them. I'm telling the truth. Amen. We're every one going to die if God don't do something in a hurry.
Right? Exactly right.
Right? Come on, I'm 80 years old. What are you? Maybe we're like we used to be. You know, we was talking about it out there Wednesday night, I guess it was, or Wednesday, Tony and a bunch of us were talking. You know, we used to when you had an old car and it got 50,000 miles on it, you went and got rid of it. Right? Some of you ain't old enough to remember that. I'm well old enough to know that when you got 50,000 miles on a car, you got rid of it. Because it was getting old. It was worn out. Now, you got 500,000 miles on your car and it's still running. What happened? Somebody just got smart enough to say, well, hey, I got 50,000. I'll just drive this to 50, 55 anyway. I'll drive it to 60,000. You get up to 60, you say, well, I might as well just keep driving it for a while. First thing you know, you got 100,000 miles. Say, well, I'll just keep driving for a while. Right? Well, why can't we get in the same way with God on the basis that we can finally get to where that we can believe what He said about us?
Amen.
Now, you have to admit when He says the bride, that He's talking about the bride. See, just like I was talking about, I believe my thoughts was correct, that the bride of Christ, the biggest portion of them, is going to die and go by the grave. Why? Because they can't stand here and stand on their own 2 feet in the message and believe it. So where else are we going? Come on, where are we going to? Okay, let's go. Was it not that Abraham believed God, and God looking at what Abraham believed in him, and he foreknew all about it anyway, and he knowed what he would do, but he wanted Abraham to find out.
That's right.
So he put him through tests and trials. Right? He puts you and me through tests and trials to see what we'll do. Not what he know. He already knows what we're going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do.
That's
what I told a man at work down there. He's throwing off on me about the message and believing in God and everything. And we was working across each other. And he looked over at me. He said, I ought to just come over there and whoop you. I said, well, if that's what you want to do, you know. I said, but I'll remind you of one thing. I try to be a Christian, but you don't know what you're doing coming over here, and I don't know what I'm going to do when you get over here. You know what? He didn't get over there. He turned around, went back down the line working. I was just being honest. I don't know what I'd have done. I hope I'd had enough grace to have took a slap in the face, and I've had that. I always wondered what that would take. And the man one day down there at work slapped me. Just, man, did he knock me almost down. And I just turned around and looked at him. I just stood there and looked at him. Had about a half grin on my face. Because I was thinking, something else holding on. It sure ain't me. I wasn't afraid of him no more than being afraid of a 10-year-old kid. But I was just standing there grinning. He just turned off and went on back down to his job, and we worked pretty close together. And he didn't come up where I was at for quite a while, maybe 10, 15 minutes. He come up there and he said, I shouldn't have done what I done a while ago. I said, it's all right. See, it proved a point. It proves something can keep you if you'll let it. And it'll turn out to be your end. And that guy was a best friend of mine from then on. He was, you know. But listen, church. Abraham believed God. That was what got God's attention. Mary believed God. Go all the way through the Bible with the warriors of faith. How that they'd believe God. Sure, it may be a David, like I said, that David knew he wasn't going to die till he sat on that throne. Because he was anointed to be king. He knew that. It may be that way. But there's a predestinated position for every one of us.
Right.
See? You say, yeah, but, you know, predestination. I'm glad Brother Brown said that. He said, now, God didn't just put you in a pot and push you through the other end and said you overcome. See, He leaves you as to choose and to walk in your part.
Right.
But He wants you to choose. He wants you to accept the point and walk in it. Are you following me? So maybe one of these days we'll realize what happened in our Christian experience. That it'll click with us and we'll say, he was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. I like that song. Or time, wherever it goes. He's been waiting on me and you. Brother Branham said it like that. He said, I forgot what he used on the end of it, but he said, if God can get one man in his hands. He had one man in Moses. He had one man in David. He said, if he can get one man, I forgot how he said it. Maybe it was, if he could get one man in line, he said the rapture would take place or something. There's something on the end of it would be a marvelous thing that if he could just get one man. Well, okay, I'm reading this, Lord. So evidently, I ain't the one, you know. And I don't use excuses. Well, you know, I could have been, no. No, I face it just up front. That's just the way I face things, straight up front. Whatever God says about me and you, why don't we believe it? Good or bad? Because even the bad, you can turn away from that and go back to the good. Things can be changed to where they're just different. That's why the predestination is not a stamped thing. It is on one basis. He back there saw it. He stamped it there. He didn't come down here and stamp it here. He saw you and me before the world ever begun sitting in church today. If you don't think about God that way, what kind of a God do you have? A flim-flam Wednesday, some kind of a situation? Could it be that what caused God to look at Abraham, he finally found somebody that had just a little bit of a love in his heart for him? You don't think like that. You don't think about the situation. See, I think about what could be without doing it. That's where Wade was telling about that story that I told him. And I was just preaching on predestination. And what I was talking about was, there's a girl at Gilsville. She was a Methodist. And, you know, I told her the story about it. I said I could have married her and wound up being a Methodist preacher. You just laugh at it. I know, because you don't understand what I'm talking about. Because you're thinking nothing can't happen that way. I'm saying we do have a choice. How long you want to stand here and quote what the prophet said? You had a choice in who you married. You had a choice in where you work. You got a choice in this. You got a choice in that. That's why I've always told my wife, you'd have been better off if you'd have chose one of them other guys. I don't think my brother, but that's all right. She used to date him a little bit. That was okay. All right, listen. Now get to the point. In Romans, where did I do it? Romans 4 and 3, it talks about Abraham believed God. And you know what? His believing was counted unto him for righteousness. The definition of the word righteousness or no, comes from the word right. You know, and right is something that's right. And then you bring on to other ways through science, I mean through the wording to bring it up. But it's counted unto him for the right act or being right. Galatians says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. James 3:23. Three times God uses the phrase, and let me quote the prophet, if God repeats something, you listen. When it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee. He said, listen to what's being said. When he repeats himself, he's got a reason. Three times he said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, could that be the very thing that God was looking at? Now, remember, he didn't have to do it down here. He done it back there. In his mind before the world, he saw Abraham and doing. What Abraham was doing down there when he come to that believing that and walking out was a manifestation. That was just like Jesus stood as a lamb slain back there. But you couldn't put that to the point of bringing of great things until he came to Calvary and died. Then could come into manifestation a savior, a healer, a deliverer. All right? God's just waiting on you and me just to step out on his word and then let him step out.
Amen.
Okay. So think on these things. All right? Now, getting to the message today. He predestinated us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. All right? Now, I'll read some of these in a minute, but you know the story of adoption. You've been around the message long enough to have heard it. Your adoption is not your new birth. You've got to get into the family. Because in the Old Testament adoptional form, it was the fact that the son, you know, was all a son from the time he was born into the family. Because he was born a Dale. He didn't become one. He was born a Dale. He was born to that farmer, that person. All right? And see, being born to that person, he was a member of the family with inherent rights of everybody in the family. Okay? But if that child, as we'll read, we have time to get into some of it. If that child behaved correctly, then he could come to the adoptional point, you know, what that word, barvitsa, what it is, the way it talks about. I can't never pronounce it correct. We were able, while we were there in Israel, I assume that's what they were doing because they were like a bunch of them gathered at one place and they was coming down and they was going through ceremony and taking of bread and doing things, you know. And I think that was probably what we were viewing was that person out in the public to be declared to be a child of God. You know, all right. But now think about it. You're predestinated unto. Which means you're going from here to there. Which means a traveling journey unto. All right? It's not the position for you to sit down and become a nonchalant, and that's what your adoptional form is covered in, right? If the child was acting like the father, then it would finally come to where that the son could be adopted. Now, I don't mean this wrong because I didn't write the book, but I've never found an adoption for the girl, the women. Right? It always talks about a son. I don't understand that. I understand one thing. I believe in the New Testament. You take from the Old Testament, it would be a son. But I believe in the New Testament, it's sons and daughters. Okay, ladies? I'm on your side. I believe that you've got to be adopted too. I believe you've got to do it as well as your husband. It's not your husband to do it for you. You've got to be that yourself. I am not my wife's savior. I can't perform as that or act as that. She has to have her own faith. Her own baptism of the Holy Ghost. But see, in the Old Testament, it was brought into a family as just like a type. The child born into the family would be a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to you in the New Testament situation. All right? And that child, if that child lived and done correctly, he was taken out and finally adopted and given the position to where he could sign the check, he could do anything. He was just as much in charge as the daddy was. And correctly speaking, Brother Branham, in bringing it, we'll get to these things and do it. Really, it's to the point that what he was saying, this is my beloved son, whom I'm pleased to dwell, hear ye him. He said, God was simply saying, I'm stepping back. If you hear anything, you're going to hear him. The Brother Branham preached a lot of messages called Hear Ye Him. I invite you to challenge me on it to see it. A lot of that was not to adoptional situations. In other words, he wasn't explaining adoption as much as he was explaining the straight truth. Hear ye him. Hear God. Hear the word. No matter where it's coming from. No matter who the speaker is. If it's the word of God, it's the word of God. Just as real as any word of God that he handwritten. You know, hand wrote himself. You follow me? See, I'm on the side with sisters too. Oh, but listen. He predestinated a people unto adoption. Now, as I said this morning, and I'm bringing it back now, that, see, this is a present tense gospel. It would have to be put somewhere in the Bible to where that you could read it as being the finality. You know, the answer to all things. And the stature of a perfect man is that. See, you add to your faith, which is a born again experience, you add virtue, knowledge, temper. What? As you receive the word, as it's being revealed to you, you're growing up the stature of a perfect man. We'll cover that. But the point I want you to see about it is, it's predestinated unto. It's a journey. And see, you started the journey. Your journey as a Christian started with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, right now. You started with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. That was your start of your journey. All right. Justification is just a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. All right. So you started your journey in a new birth. He brought you into the family of God, gave you eternal life in your soul, making your soul redeemed, making you a son or daughter of God. All right? Well, see, that's just the start of the journey because that's a baby. Every born again believer starts their journey as a baby. You don't start your journey as full grown. Where would you find your types and things for it? You start your journey as the day you're born again. That puts you in the body of Christ, but you're a baby desiring the sincere milk of the word. Right. As the Bible said, that you may grow thereby and being born again by the incorruptible word. The stature of a perfect man can't be built by how much knowledge here is not just how much you can learn the message. It's Holy Ghost knowledge. It's the revealed word of God. It's God's word revealed to you. All right. It puts you to a place to where that new birth just puts you in the body. And there's where Brother Brown says, your Pentecostals messed up. Because you see, he covered it. He said that justification had its time. Sanctification had its time. In other words, a predestinated seed, a destiny. Luther's destiny was the just shall live by faith. Protest the Catholic Church. Get out of there and leave that stuff alone. That was his day. A destiny. He reached his destiny. He had to go on then. He had to go on by the grave. Wesley come along. He done his part. Sent the missionaries to the world and the writings of the books and the things, you know, and the Bible and the songs and things. But that didn't finish it. Long come the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Azusa Street. And the prophet said that's where you made your mistake. Thinking that you got everything when you was born again, he said, when you didn't, he said, you just started. Come on, take the natural story and see it with the spiritual. You start your natural life as a baby. Goo goo, gaga, and all kind of things. Right? But one day your journey has to complete in the basis of a growth development. The baby has to grow up. He said, then we'll quit our little pity patter. And I've got to hear one. I know I ain't going to get it today, so I'll just use the parts of these notes and preach on it later. I ain't worried about it. But see, that child has to learn to walk. Well, you know what's the best thing about a child learning to walk? I mean, you don't want to hurt him, and you don't go wrong with him. Just listen. But you take him and you just stand him up against the wall. You give him something to kind of get sturdy about on his back, and then you walk away from him and say, come on. Well, now, he's going to fall. Right? But you know, in doing all that, he's going to learn to walk. Then after they learn to walk, you want them to sit down and shut up. You know, right? You want them to learn to talk. Come on, dad, 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 mama, mama, come on, come on, come on. And then they finally get to doing that, and it'd be like I was one day coming up the road driving from all the way in Atlanta, and my brother-in-law was in the car with me, and he had his boy with him, and he was this little small-like fella. And all the way up the road, he said the same thing. Over and over and over. Every mile that I went by, it was over and over. I wanted to spank him. I'm sorry. I wanted to at least tell him to shut up. You know. But he was growing up. He finally learned to say some other things. Maybe that's why God sometimes spanks us pretty good. You know, with kids crying. You know. And what do we tell the kids? You tell them. They fall down. And they went, get up and go. Come on, that didn't hurt. Well, you know, after a while, that kind of gets in that kid's mind. He said, I fell down, it didn't hurt. He gets up and goes. See? He learns. And that's what a child of God has to do. Amen. We'll read these things as we go along and just bring some more about it. But see, you're predestinated. I want you to get the point. You're predestinated to a certain position. Zusa Street was Pentecostal, predestinated position of the new birth. And your prophet said they turned it down. Well, see, somebody has got to go beyond the new birth. Somebody has got to go to a position. And I know you don't like it because I know what people think when you say anything. Think you're exalted or whatever. But I've told you enough that you ought to know that at least I've done it. But in 1969 in Athens, Georgia, I preached a message called The Bride of Jesus Christ Would Be the Son of Man, the Fullness of the Godhead Bodily. 1969. When others were dealing with whether Brother Branham was wrong out here about this dates and that was this. They was doing that back in the 70s. We had ministers' meetings about those things. But it's like I told you. Back in that day, you had enough old people to stand up. And they stood firmly on the basis that it didn't matter what everybody was talking about, dates and times and seasons. We had ministers' meetings on the little thing in our Colorado, what it was about the dates of going up in the sky and the cloud and the thing like that. And I told them then, I said, you're denying the God, that the prophet is the prophet of God for the age. You're denying what he says. You're just not arguing over dates and times. You're trying to prove him wrong. Because if you can prove him wrong, you're going to disbelieve him. Well, you can see that back there I wasn't popular either. So that's why I'm not popular now, because I stand on one thing. It's this message or nothing. We're either going up or we're going down. We got our choice. Let's take our choice, our stand. You know, God might decide to look down and say, hey, them people's doing just what I want them to do. And you know, when he does, he's going to move on the scene. But a pity-patter little baby, you know. No, that's not what he wants. He wants his bride to stand forth and be men and women of the gospel. Like I said, you may not even think it means a thing in the world. But see, I like that kind of a doing to where that I can say, hey, look, this scripture here is not the engrafting of the Gentiles, because it don't even mention them in Ephesians. You know, in this scripture, Ephesians 1. So I give you the scripture that says, hey, here's the other scripture about the Gentiles. You think, well, what does that mean to me? Someday somebody will come up to you and say something and you'll say, Ephesians 1 is not the engrafting of the Gentiles, and you're going to blow their brain because they've been taught of engrafting. And they taught it as a whole thing. It's not. Engrafting gets in you to the body of Christ. Come on. Engrafting just puts you in the body of Christ. It don't put you to adoption. Growth, development of a child eating and drinking milk and all like that. It's what causes a child to grow up in the gospel by eating the word of God week in, week out, day in and day out. Hearing the same thing. Well, Brother Dale, you said that 5 times this week. If we're going to have 5 more services, I'd say it 5 or 10 more times. Why? Because one thing. Repetitive points is going to put it in your mind. And you may need it someday. Because I believe somebody is going to come to a place to call God on the scene. I believe he's going to come because of what they've done with the word. He come to Abraham because Abraham believed him. What about me and you? But you see, one thing in ending it, whatever he saw of us back there before the world is what we're going to do now. There's no way for him back there to see you as a saved person and then see you come over here in reality, find out and join a church and go to church and cry and get saved, because you're not going to do it, because he done seen you ain't going to do it. He's seen there's something wrong, will be something wrong with you, and you're not going to do it. So we better be praying for God to try to match our predestination with our foreknowledge. And to cry out before him and say, Lord, whatever I was back there, I am that now. Let me go that away. You can't change your predestination. Do you understand? The man that was added 15 years, he never changed it. He died. The prophet told him, you're going to die. He begged for God and God gave him 15 years. God didn't change his mind. He died in 15 years. He'd have been better off, though, if he'd have died right there, because he messed up in his 15 years that he was left. You see, we cry and pray and you know, and doing our little baby ways. But Brother Dale, I know when I was there when I received the Holy Ghost, because I shouted and spoke in tongues and I done this and I done that. I saw dreams. I had visions. Amen for all of it. But what about the Word? Are you going to turn the Word down? See, that's what God would see you do before the world. He'd see you crying and praying and everything. But he'd see you turn down the word of the hour. You realize what these brothers are doing now when they're killing the people of the message by their self-interpretations of all of the thing? They are destroying the people's opportunity. Be careful what you hear. Don't let it become a part of you. Don't let it become a part of you, because it's hard to get rid of. The hardest thing to get rid of is a false doctrine. Because you're going to do everything that you can. That's why I always say, I don't have to worry about you if you'll spend as much time trying to prove that what I've said to you is right. As you do spend that much time trying to prove that I'm wrong, if you'll try to prove that I'm right, you'll see what I'm talking about. So it's left into your lap. A predestinated plan, a destiny is set for a group of people to reach an adoptional position to where that she can come to Romans 8. We'll get over to our right. You remember in Romans 8 what it does? It comes down to wit, to understand, to wit, the redemption of the body. To understand the redemption of the body and what it takes to be there. There's your adoption. Yeah, but do I have to know everything? You don't have to know everything I know. And I don't mean that wrong, because I believe you know more than I do. Because you can study on whatever you want to. You can listen to any tape you want to. I listen to my wife. We'll do something. We'll be there and maybe sometime 2 and 3 tapes running right through listening. I ain't saying that I'm much more than her or her more than me. I'm just saying the point. One of us might be sitting there of eating and filling up on the Word of God for whatever we have another, and the other one's sitting there listening to a good message. Right? Make your calling, as I said this morning, calling and election sure. Come on, musician. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you know what it is to be called. Make sure you know what it is to be elected. But just remember, all of that is covered under one thing, if you'll remember, the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God. He knew before the world what all of us would do. And we're not going to change it. You say, well, ain't no need of me trying then. Well, he saw that. If you say, well, is there any hopes of me changing my life and becoming a Christian? Yeah. If you'll do what God says. Well, that's changing his mind. No, it didn't. He knew you was going to change. He knew you was going to come to a place. That's what I've been talking about. He knew you'd come to a place to want to be saved. So he'll have it for you. I don't see how anything of salvation could be any more simple than to understand that God, before the world ever begun, saw what we would do, and he had it waiting on us when we got here. How much more simple can you do that? Let's stand. What we got, brother?
That sounds like home to me.
Think on these things.
That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me, right where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again.
Gonna pray, and we're gonna send some prayer clothes, and then we're gonna send one for her to hide, because I believe in it. I believe in that being there will take care of a lot of things. So let's believe it. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our sister comes for her mother. The brothers at the board coming. We're all joining together. That you'll take care of her. That you'll bring her home through. That, Lord, no matter what age she gets, that it will not have any effect upon her. That all will be well. Father, we thank you. We love you. And we thank you for all of us.
His grace
take these.
And glory.
Like I said, put one of them under the pillow. Give her the other.
Of God will be that sound like home to me. Oh, that
Lord Jesus,
sounds like home to me.
It's a finished product.
Like where I
believe you've already
want
done it. You're just waiting on somebody to claim it. We claim what our brother
no
is asking for in the blood of Jesus Christ.
To
we already done and committed and finished.
Again.
We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
And accept it.
That sounds like home
Father,
to me.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we send this prayer along to your sister. That all will be taken care of. And Lord, that she'll find her place and position and things. And that she'll move out into that and get rid of all the other things. We thank you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask you to go do what our brother has asked for because we believe you. And come on the scene and make it manifest and clear it all away and be unto them whatever the need is. We believe you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Saints of God will be that sound like home to me.
Amen and amen and amen. Just pray one for another that the Lord would bless and just remember that we're all together in one family because we brought into the same family. And that way then we're all together as one. And that's a wonderful thing to think about. We have a family that we can fellowship with. We brought into that. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for you and your manifestation. We thank you for your word that you've given unto us. And we pray that you would just guide us all in your understanding and touch us, Lord, and deliver us from all things. And just make us to be your children, because that's what we want. And Father, forgive our sins, bless and guide each one. Take care of everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
Give F wherever I go.
Wherever I go, I'll praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted.